Okay, let's dive in. Today we're unpacking something pretty profound research that might just change how we view, well, almost everything. Health, society, maybe even evolution itself.
It's centered on this really fascinating paper from October 2025. Dr. Bechara Seshali is the lead author and, interestingly, co-authored by the generative AI, ChatGPT, specifically GPT-5.
Right. That co-authorship alone is something. The paper is called From Resistance to Resonance, Upgrading the Energy Resistance Principle into the Energy Coherence Principle as a Universal Law of Regeneration. Quite a title.
It is. And the mission is just as big, basically. To shift our whole understanding of how living systems manage energy, moving away from a kind of static view.
Like a simple resistor.
Exactly. Towards something much more dynamic, rhythmic, based on oscillation and timing.
So to get there, we first need to understand the model they're replacing. That's the Energy Resistance Principle, the ERP. Came out earlier in 2025 from Picard and Murugan.
Yeah, the ERP was a big step, trying to unify things like metabolism and stress. It essentially viewed life like a basic electrical circuit, a DC circuit.
Where everything comes down to resistance, like friction.
Pretty much. Static resistance, symbolized as health, disease. It was all framed as how much the system frictionally opposes the flow of energy. The goal was simply minimize that friction, that resistance.
Which sounds okay for simple things, maybe. Mm-hmm. But living systems, they pulse, they have rhythms, neural oscillations, heartbeats, metabolic cycles.
And that's the huge gap the ECP authors point out. The ERP just, well, it completely missed the beat. It left out reactants, the X factor.
Reactants being energy storage, delay.
Both. Think capacitance, like storing a charge, and inductance, like inertia or lag time. By ignoring reactants, the ERP couldn't handle timing, oscillation, or the really crucial concept of phase coherence.
Phase coherence, getting things in sync.
Precisely. Living systems aren't just leaky pipes minimizing friction. They're fundamentally resonant oscillators trying to synchronize potential and action, trying to stay in tune.
Okay, so that sets the stage for the new idea. The Energy Coherence Principle, or ECP. It's not just about less friction.
No, it's about alignment. About aligning energy and, dare I say, meaning. It uses the physics of impedance and phase synchronization to build this whole new framework. It's a really significant upgrade, mathematically and conceptually.
Right. Let's get into that new language then.
Yeah.
The big mathematical move is going from just resistance, dollars, to complex impedance, dollars. What does that mean for, like, the basic equation of life?
They propose this generalized flow law, DeSisy-Phi. They argue this applies everywhere, from inside your cells to how societies function.
Okay, break that down for us.
That's the energetic potential, the driving force. Could be the voltage across a membrane, or maybe your motivation to start a project, the oomph.
Got it.
And yeah, pertussis flow.
That's exactly. Oh.
That's the realized flow, what actually happens, the metabolic rate, the current, the work you actually get done.
And zillodollars, that's the crucial bit. Complex impedance. So it includes the old resistance?
Yes, now it's still in there. That's a friction, the energy dissipated as heat. But SALA includes $6, the reactants, the timing problems, the delays, the storage components. ZO is the total opposition to flow, combining friction and timing issues.
Can you give us a feel for that? Opposition by timing.
Imagine planning a wedding. The dollars, the cost of the venue, the food direct frictional costs. $6, the reactants, is the caterer showing up 3 hours late.
Ah. So the potential, the plan, the excitement is there, but the flow, the actual event, is delayed, out of sync.
Right.
Creates stress, right? Wasted potential.
Exactly. That lag, that mismatch, is the reactive part of impedance. High impedance means either lots of friction or significant delays and storage issues, or both. It's about the overall difficulty in turning potential into effective action.
That makes so much sense. It's not just energy lost, it's time lost, or maybe potential just sitting there, stored but not used effectively.
Precisely. And this lets them introduce what might be the ECP's core metric for vitality, coherence efficiency, symbolized by ETA, ETA dollar.
So how well are you actually using your potential? How aligned is your flow with your drive?
That's it. And it's captured elegantly, theta se theta quay, where theta seta is the phase angle. It's the measure of the lag or lead between the potential and the flow.
Okay. So if betas and theta are perfectly in sync,
then the phase angle is zero. Cosine of zero is one. So theta are perfectly in sync. That's perfect coherence, maximum efficiency, peak vitality. Your potential translates directly into action without lag.
And if they're totally out of sync, like I want to work, but I just sit there worrying data zero or delayed,
then your phase angle theta gets larger. As it approaches 90 degrees, cosine theta approaches zero, theta goes towards zero. You might be burning energy internally, worrying, stressing, but there's no effective synchronized output. High potential, low coherent flow, massive inefficiency.
Wow, so procrastination isn't just laziness, it's a state of high phase lag, low coherence efficiency. You're literally out of sync with your own intentions.
That's the cognitive interpretation, yes, and it fits perfectly. This leads to the idea of the resonance condition. That's the sweet spot.
Where things work best.
It's the frequency where the reactive components, the storage and inertia parts of $6 effectively cancel each other out. So 60 becomes zero. At resonance, the only opposition left is the pure friction, the vessels. The system is optimally tuned.
So life, health, vitality.
Yeah.
It's all about minimizing the total opposition, ziviata, and crucially, minimizing that phase lag, figata, to stay as close to resonance as possible.
That's the core idea. Keep everything in tune.
Okay, that framework is powerful. But let's ground it. Where does this complex impedance physically live inside us?
The paper points straight at mitochondria, right?
It does, and it reframes them completely. Forget just powerhouses. The ECP sees them as incredibly sophisticated adaptive impedance networks.
Meaning they're actively tuning themselves, adjusting their own Zahlers. Constantly. They're managing the relationship between the electrochemical potential across their membranes, that's DALI POS, and the rate of ATP production or other metabolic processes, that's Fehlers.
So if they're tuning impedance, they must have those reactive parts, $6. Where's the capacitance and inductance in a mitochondrion?
The capacitance is fairly intuitive. The inner mitochondrial membrane separates charge, creating the membrane potential, Tlaupsi. That storage of potential energy is capacitance. The membrane acts like a capacitor.
Okay, that makes sense. What about inductance, dollar, the inertia, the delay? How does that work with proteins?
Think about the large molecular machines involved. ATP synthesis has to physically rotate. Transporters need time to bind, change shape, and move molecules across the membrane. There's a physical inertia, a time lag associated with these processes. That's the biological inductance.
Ah, so when mitochondria fuse, or change the shape of their inner folds, the cristae, that's not just random restructuring.
According to the ECP, that's them physically adjusting their dollar and $2 components. They're remodeling their internal structure to retune their resonant frequency to match the cell's current energy demands. It's dynamic impedance matching.
Incredible. So what happens when this tuning system breaks down? Under chronic stress, for example.
That's where disease starts from this perspective. Chronic stress, what we call allostatic load, forces the mitochondria into a state of persistently high impedance. Both the friction and the reactance, $6, go up and stay up.
And the system shifts from being this beautifully tuned oscillator
to essentially a set of damped resistors. It loses its resonant quality. The paper calls this state an impedance mismatch syndrome. The timing is shot. The efficiency plummets.
And they had that striking example, the effect of chronic stress hormones.
Yes. They cited work showing that chronic exposure to glucocorticoids could increase a cell's total energy expenditure by something like 60%.
60%.
With no corresponding increase in useful work output. The energy is just being burned off, largely due to the system being forced out of its efficient resonant state. It's the cost of decoherence.
That's a huge energy tax imposed by being out of sync. So healing, or salugenesis, as they call it,
is framed as an impedance retuning process. It's not just about giving the system more fuel. It's about helping it find its rhythm again, reestablishing that phase coupling between potential and flow.
Which suddenly makes sense of things like controlled breathing, meditation, rhythmic exercise, even circadian rhythm management.
Exactly. These aren't just relaxing. From the ECP view, they are rhythmic inputs designed to entrain the system, to help different biological oscillators resynchronize, lowering reactance and improving coherence efficiency. They're literally helping tune the biological circuit back to resonance.
Fascinating. Okay, then zoom out. The paper argues this isn't just biology, it's a universal law applying across scales a holofractal continuum from cells to minds to whole societies.
That's the bold claim. The same logic of impedance and coherence applies. Let's take cognition.
We touched on it. Profanial is motivation or intention. Vital is attention, focus, actual behavior.
And the flow state, that feeling of effortless action. That's the psychological equivalent of perfect resonance. Setat is near zero, Tato is near one. Intention and action are perfectly synchronized.
And they specifically identify cognitive reactance, too.
As things like rumination and procrastination, think about it. Rumination is like energy cycling uselessly, potential stored in thought loops but not flowing into action. Procrastination is pure delay, a huge phase lag. Both wreck your cognitive efficiency.
So mental friction or burnout isn't just about effort. It's often about being out of phase, high reactance goals.
That's a key insight. And they scale it up again to society. Institutions, governments, corporations, healthcare systems are described as macrometabolic organs.
Okay, so how does impedance show up there?
Well, high resistance is the stuff we usually notice. Bureaucratic red tape, corruption, inefficiency, friction that just burns resources.
Standard organizational complaints. But what about societal reactance?
That's things like policy lag, the time it takes to respond to a problem, information silos preventing coordinated action, delayed feedback loops, entrenched systems that resist change even when the potential is clear.
Like a city needing climate adaptation measures but taking years to actually allocate funds and act.
Exactly. That delay is reactance, and the result of high institutional impedance, both 200 to SEGS. The paper calls it institutional exhaustion.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Energy gets wasted in internal conflict, stagnation, polarization. You need more and more resources, potential to achieve less and less effective action. The system becomes inefficient, decoherent, like that stress cell burning 60% extra energy for nothing.
And they take it even further to the whole planet.
Planetary coherence, yeah. They argue our current global economy is fundamentally a high impedance system, especially high resistance, resource depletion, pollution, and way out of phase with the Earth's natural regenerative cycles, carbon, water, etc.
So the sustainability isn't just about using less. It's about timing, about getting in sync with the planet.
It requires planetary impedance matching, reducing the friction and the delays in our global systems, and crucially, aligning our economic rhythms with the biosphere's potential for regeneration. Otherwise, decoherence leads to collapse.
Okay, the scope is huge.
Yeah.
Let's talk implications. If this ECP holds true, it reframes almost every field of practice, doesn't it?
It suggests they all boil down to the same core problem. Minimize total impedance, Zillow D-Lawlers, and maximize coherence efficiency, take healthcare.
Intervention should focus less on just symptoms or fuel.
And more on re-entrainment therapies. Things that restore rhythm and phase coupling across systems. We mentioned breathing, HRV biofeedback, circadian alignment practices aimed directly at reducing reactance and improving to luck.
What about education? How does impedance apply there?
Learning is most efficient, they argue, when the teaching frequency or pace matches the learner's natural resonant frequency or absorption rate.
So if a teacher goes too fast or too slow?
It's a phase mismatch. SATA increases, THERTR drops. The potential knowledge isn't flowing effectively into understanding. Learning fails not due to lack of effort, but due to poor timing.
That implies good teaching needs to incorporate what? Pauses for reflection, repetition.
Exactly. Reflection allows the charge of information to build up that's capacitance. Repetition helps overcome the inertia of learning new patterns that's inductance. You need both to build cognitive coherence. You can't just fire hose information.
And for governance, they proposed a whole new metric, right? Beyond GDP.
Yes. Instead of just measuring flow like GDP does, they suggest the Life Coherence Index, or LCI. It measures TAC theta. It assesses how well a society's potential, its resources, technology, human capital is actually translating into coherent, synchronized well-being across key areas like health, social equity, ecological balance.
So a country could have a high GDP, but if its people are sick, divided, and the environment is collapsing.
Its LCI, its coherence efficiency, TAC beta, would be low. It signals a deep systemic imbalance, a high degree of impedance, even if the raw economic flow looks okay on the surface. It's a much deeper measure of societal health.
This leads to their ultimate generalization, doesn't it? The coherence law evolution.
The TAC takes dollars. Basically, living systems tend to evolve by increasing their coherence efficiency over time.
Getting better tuned, more synchronized, more efficient at turning potential into beneficial action.
That seems to be the direction of healthy evolution, yes. When CATA consistently decreases, you get degeneration illness in an individual, breakdown in a society. When CATA dates increases, you see emergence health, creativity, resilience, regeneration.
So wrapping this up, the ECP, with its core ideas of VAC and LIDA COSTATA, isn't just new physics for biology. It's presented as a unifying meta law.
A law that reframes everything, health, learning, governance, maybe even evolution itself, as fundamentally an act of achieving and maintaining coherence. of staying in tune.
There's a strong philosophical undercurrent here, too. It feels like more than just science.
Absolutely. The ECP isn't just describing how things are. It implicitly suggests how they should be for optimal function, for vitality. It becomes normative.
How so?
Well, if maximizing coherence leads to health, efficiency, and regeneration, then maybe acting to increase coherence is, well, the right thing to do. The paper actually says something like, ethics, then, is the science of sustaining resonance within and between systems.
Wow. Ethics is resonant science. That's a lot to think about.
It really is. It challenges you, the listener, to think about your own life, your choices, your work, your participation in society. Are your actions contributing to friction and delay increasing impedance? Or are they helping to build alignment and flow, cultivating resonance?
Are we helping the systems we're part of find their rhythm? Or are we adding to the noise and decoherence?
Because the final thought really lingers. To live well, perhaps, is simply to remain in tune, to constantly work towards minimizing that phase lag, personally and collectively. That's the path to regeneration.